But this morning, David is crying out to God, as he often did in the Psalms. And this particular psalm reveals David's desire to be with God. And I think a lot of Christians over time, if they're not careful, they can lose this. They love God, so they claim, but they don't really enjoy being with God. And that's not because God isn't enjoyable to be with, especially as his children. It's because something's happened in our hearts to make us callous to that. And it's usually sin, of course. So beginning of verse 1 of Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So panteth my soul. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us your presence. Give us your guidance. Work miracles in hearts through your powerful word today. We are so blessed to be able to assemble here and to open your precious and preserved word. And now we pray that each of us would open our hearts, push aside distractions, focus on hearing from you. Thy will be done in this service. May you be glorified, and we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When was the last time you panted after God? God drew us a picture here, didn't he? Something that we can all relate to, especially Kelvin, with the deer hunting on the South Island, right? A hart is another word for a deer. And you can picture a deer that's thirsty. It's been running all day, frolicking around in the forest or whatever. And it's looking for a river. It's thirsty. Wants a drink. And David said, if you could put that picture in your mind, that is how I feel about spending time with God. He says, I thirst for God, there in verse 2. If you're one of God's children, if you're a born-again, blood-bought child of God, do you thirst for God? Or do you get alone with God because you know that's what you're supposed to do? Because that's on your list of things for the day. I've got to pray today. It should be, I can't wait to pray today. Amen? I can't wait to spend time with God and his word. And that was one of the reasons, as we studied David recently, why he was a man after God's own heart. Because he sought the heart of God. Constantly. He thirsted, as we see, he panted after God. He thirsted for God. We come to the New Testament. If you go to Philippians 3:10, and we have another great man of God who was the same, and that was the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul, another great Jewish man who God called directly to be his special apostle to the Gentiles. He had a heart that was after God's heart. And notice he says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We love that first part, don't we? And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I recognize that if I want to know God better, it's not only about the power, but it's also the fellowship of the sufferings. It's also understanding and even learning through the trials God allows in my life what Jesus went through for me. The fellowship of his sufferings. But you can see there that desire for Paul to spend more time, to be after the heart of God, to pant after God, the thirst after God. In John 7, if you want to turn there, verse 37, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. No, he wasn't. That's in chapter 4. Sorry. He mentioned it in chapter 4. But here in chapter 7, he again brings up a thirst. Notice that John 7, verse 37, in the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So just reading that and hearing it, people would be thinking, what exactly is he talking about? But then he told us in verse 38, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And we know doctrinally that Jesus was going to send the Holy Spirit after he ascended to heaven, which he did. And now you and I enjoy this amazing privilege of actually being the temple of the Holy Ghost. The day we are born again, he moves in and indwells us, and he seals us, and he puts us into the body of Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. But he could be quenched. He could be grieved. And that's what happens. He is God and he indwells us, but he's holy. And he hates sin. And so if that panting and that thirsting after the Almighty God that has given you eternal life and a home in heaven and his eternal presence, if that desire to be with him is not what it used to be, it's probably because your fellowship has been hindered. As we know, it can be. So back to our passage, he says, "When," verse 2, "shall I come and appear before God?" Life is going to be filled with trials. That is, we know this is a fact. We hear it all the time. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Amen. Psalm 34:19. It's a guarantee you're going to have trials because God knows they're good for us. But trials don't necessarily mean that we have to get all down and depressed. As we're told, we're supposed to actually rejoice when they come, because it's a reminder that this world is not our home. Amen. "When shall I come and appear before God?" This one day, I'm going to appear before Jesus Christ at his judgment seat. And he's going to say to me, "Lord willing, well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I'm going to spend eternity with him. And David is saying, when's that going to happen? I'm not sure. And we know as Christians, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. But David was constantly thinking about that, anticipating it. He talked about it in many of the Psalms. But notice Psalm 27:4, if you would, just as one example. And this is one of the things that kept David going and kept this thirst and panting after God alive. Psalm 27:4 was his desire to be with God, but also his recognition that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And that one day he would be in the presence of God. You know, Job said the same thing in the midst of his suffering. In Job 19, he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He said, "I'm going to see God." If you're born again, you're going to see God. And that should help us through these trials. One of the last things that John wrote while he was in prison on the Isle of Patmos was, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Notice David here in Psalm 27, down in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And yes, there's double meaning there. You can talk about the earthly temple and you can talk about the heavenly temple. But David knew one day, go back to Psalm 17, verse 15. David knew that one day he would be with God. And if you're born again, one day you will be with God. And that should help us through this thing called life. And we shouldn't allow those trials or sin to steal away our thirst for God. Notice he says in Psalm 17, 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." David said, there's going to come a day when I'm going to awake with the likeness of my God. And when that day comes, 100% satisfaction. Amen. Until then, he says, I'm panting, I'm thirsting for more time with God. Are we? Go back to our passage, because he says, he obviously wrote this psalm in the midst of an intense trial, of which David had plenty, before and after becoming king, as we know. But he says there in verse 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night." We're never told in the scriptures that trials don't hurt. They do. Sometimes they hurt intensely, don't they? Sometimes they lead to a lot of tears. Does God know about those tears? Does God care about them? Did God create us with the capacity to cry? Yes. David said in Psalm 56, 8, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God even keeps track of our tears. So it's not that he's mean, it's not that he's cruel, and it's not that he doesn't care. It's that he knows we need those times. And David's being honest, and that's okay. He says, "Well, I've been crying day and night, Lord. I pant after you, I thirst for more time with you, but these trials have been hard, and I've been crying a lot. Day and night," he said. And we're still going to have pain in this Christian life, and a lot of that pain is going to lead to crying. But don't let it lead to the second part of verse 3, where it says, "While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" I personally believe that one of the greatest testimonies that we can be to our family, our workmates, and our friends is when they watch how we go through trials. I'm not talking about the unsaved that we just meet and we witness to. I'm talking about people that know us and people that we spend time with and people that aren't saved yet. When a trial comes into our lives, trust me, they are watching to see, are we going to respond like everybody else with despair, with frustration, with anger? Or are we going to respond differently because we have God? Should we respond differently? Absolutely. We're commanded to respond differently, aren't we? We're told to rejoice when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Jesus at one point said, when you're persecuted, leap for joy. We don't do that very often, do we? At least not about trials. So people are watching us. And we don't want them to say, where is thy God? Where is he? Is he there for you right now while you're going through this trial? Remember, we looked recently at 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why would they ask us about our hope? I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism here. That's not in the scriptures. But people that we regularly interact with know that we're Christians, or they better. Because you better be telling them that you're a Christian. And why would they ask about your hope, but when you're going through suffering? Why do you handle this so differently? Well, because I have hope. Because I know this is temporary. I know I'm going to be with Jesus forever. And what a golden opportunity to witness. So when they ask, where is thy God, we can tell them. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. It's okay when you're in the midst of an intense trial and your thirst for God to be honest with God. I think God commands it, doesn't he? To all that call upon him in truth, Psalm 145, 18. He's nigh unto all them that call upon him, but all that call upon him in truth, in other words, in honesty, Don't come to God and start praying and saying, God, everything's just so wonderful. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's painful. It's okay to tell God the truth because he already knows it. But sometimes he wants to hear it. And David said, Lord, I pour out my soul. Look at Psalm 62, verse 8. And we'll see this again. Shouldn't this be our response to trials? Is to pour out our soul? Isn't that the best response to trials? Notice Psalm 62, 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. There is no better response to an intense trial than to pour out your soul before God. Just be open and honest with him. Lord, this hurts. I know it's your will. And I know that you have a plan for my life. And I know that you're good. But it hurts. It's okay to be honest with God. He wants it. So we've seen David had a thirst. Amen? A thirst for God. Do we? David also went through intense trials. And we will. But how do we respond to those trials? Look what he says at the end of verse 4 in our passage. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He said, one of the things I did, not only did I pour out my soul before God, but I did my best to be with the people of God on holy day, and came to the house of God with joy and praise. Nothing lifts the soul like coming to church, being with God's people, and singing God's praises. I mean, I'll be honest. Yesterday, when I look forward to revivals, I should, but I don't look forward to the preaching as much as the singing. Especially Wonderful Grace of Jesus. I mean, that right there's for me as close to being in heaven as you can be. When you got all those men, wonderful the matches, and then the ladies doing their little thing. Wow. That's what it's going to be like up there. Amen. And that should be what we look forward to. Can't wait to be with God's people. Can't wait to sing praises to the Lord. I can't wait to hear from the Word of God. That's what David said. I'm panting after God. I'm in pain. I've been crying day and night. I'm going to go and be with God's people. That should be our desire, is to be with God's people. Look at Psalm 84, if you would, in verse 2. David loved to go to the house of God and be with God's people. And he talked often about it. You know how many Christians go through intense trials and their response is to say, I'm not going to go to church? They just did the opposite of the best thing they could do. Is to take themselves away from that fellowship and away from all that wonderful worship and away from the Word of God rather than gravitating to it. Notice he says here in Psalm 84, verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Look down at verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says in Psalm 122, 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we see that David, while crying out to God, while panting after God, while thirsting for God, crying day and night because of the trials he was going through, said, I need to get to church. And they didn't call it that back then, I understand. But I need to get with God's people and praise and pour out my heart with a multitude. It says, with the multitude that kept holy day, I just need to pour out my soul. Isn't that good? Then he asks himself a question. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? That word disquieted means not knowing the answer. Cast down, we know what that means. So he says, why am I like this? Why am I cast down? Why am I down at all? Why am I disquieted? Why am I wondering? Why do I keep asking why? And isn't that the first thing we do when a trial comes? Why? We should be saying, who? Amen? God is allowing this. Not why is God allowing this, but God is allowing this. God knows what is best. But David says, what's wrong with me? Why am I cast down? Why am I disquieted? This is the same one who wrote, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Sometimes we just don't know the answers. That's okay. Because, you know, often that just results in more dependence on God, doesn't it? But he answers his own question in verse 5, doesn't he? Hope thou in God. I need to stop being down. I need to stop being disquieted. And trust the Lord. That's pretty basic, isn't it? Psalm 71:14. Look there if you would. Hope thou in God. The Christian life, my friend, is a struggle. It's a struggle with the flesh, with the devil, with the world, and with the trials that God allows in our lives. But the hope never goes away. Psalm 71:4. But I will hope continually. Isn't that good? I'm not going to stop hoping. And I will praise thee more and more. So David, he's answering his own questions, isn't he? He's saying, I've been down, I've been disquieted. I pant after God. I thirst after God. I want to spend more time with God. But what are some of the solutions to this? And he gives them to us. First of all, I'm going to go to the house of God. Isn't that good? Second of all, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to hope in God. And third of all, verse 5, I'm going to praise God. Look at it. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There you go. There's the solution. Get back in church. Trust the Lord and praise him. Praise him more. And if that's not enough, praise him some more. I will bless the Lord at all times, it says in Psalm 34:1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How often are we supposed to praise the Lord? Continually. It should be coming out of our mouths all the time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Don't let the charismatics scare you. It's okay to praise the Lord. It's scriptural. Amen? Look at Psalm 77, verse 10. In other words, be excited about your Christian life. Don't forget your hope that never changes. It's real. Jesus saved you. He gave you eternal life. He gave you a mansion in heaven. Keep your focus there. Be excited that you're not going to hell. That's something to be excited about. Amen. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. There's always something to rejoice over. David said in Psalm 77, verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I need to get back to remembering how good God really is. Get back into his word. And so David says, I pant, I thirst after God. Do we? Have we allowed trials or sin? And that's a whole different sermon. If you don't feel the presence of God, it might be sin. Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. If it's sin, you've got to deal with the sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But it might just be trials. The response should not be to give up or get despondent. The response should be, like David said, yeah, there's tears, but the response should be to say, I'm going to go to the house of God. I'm going to trust God. He's my hope, and I'm going to praise God continually for the help of his countenance. God is good. And it's easy for people to say all the time, but they don't say it as much when they're in the middle of a big trial. So panteth my soul. I would hope that we could all say, you know, that's me. I just can't wait to spend more time with God because I love Him so much. He's so good to me. He's a wonderful God. He's holy. But He's also loving and merciful and gracious. And I just can't wait to spend more time with Him. I hope that is our heart. If it's not, it's not because God is not worthy of that. It's because something's happened in our heart. It's either sin, or we've allowed the trials to affect us in the wrong way. And David said, what's wrong with me? Why am I cast down? Why am I disquieted? Maybe we need to be asking ourselves the same question. What's wrong with me? Why am I confused? Why am I cast down? Hope thou in God. I'm going to go with the multitude to the house of God, and I'm going to praise Him continually. So panteth my soul. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And this reminder that, Lord, our desire to spend time with you should just get stronger and stronger until that day comes. And Lord, if we've allowed sin or trials to take that away from us, I pray we'll repent and realize how important it is, Lord, that we get alone with you every day and truly enjoy time with you because you are so good. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, and may you be our hope every day. May we praise you continually. May we be faithful to your house, that we might be with God's people and worship and praise in the Word of God. We are just so blessed. Thank you for the Word of God that you've given us, the Holy Spirit that indwells us. May our hearts pant after you. Have your will and way in our hearts in this invitation, Lord, for someone not born again. May they realize that's why Christ died and rose again, that they might have eternal life and the hope of heaven. Work in that heart that they would trust Christ even today. We ask this in Jesus' name.